Welcome. You're here visiting to the Knollwood Church of Christ. We're just delighted to have you. We appreciate you being here. We want you to feel that you're among friends. Sign the guest register before you leave so we'll have a record of your attendance. And come back real, real soon. This morning, I'm studying for a few minutes a question that was asked Peter by our Lord in the 21st chapter of John. In fact, this question was asked three times, the same question, at least practically the same question. And I'm reading verses 15, 16, and 17 to set before you the thought before we make some applications and draw some implications. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Several years ago, in reading this narrative, this story, I was somewhat perplexed and confused because it looked like Jesus was simply being redundant, just asking the same thing over again and again and again. But when I studied more and delved into it deeper, I found that Jesus' questions were justified. There was a reason for asking these over and over again. Now, it's not shown in the English, but it's clear and explicit in the original language, the Greek language, that Jesus and Peter were using different words that's translated love. Jesus asked, first of all, to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And Jesus used this word, agapeo, A-G-A-P-O. That's the verb form. The noun form is agape. And he's saying to Peter, he said, "Now, Peter, do you agapeo me?" And this word agapeo means a devoted love. But he didn't get that kind of answer from Peter. Peter didn't say, "Lord, you know I agapeo you." No, Peter said, "Lord, you know that I phileo you." And this is a different love. It's not as strong as the one that Jesus was asking for. It was simply a love of affection, or affinity, or friendship. Now put it in that context, our light, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said to Peter, said, "Now Peter, do you really love me? Are you devoted to me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know I like you." That isn't what he asked. He asked, "Are you devoted to me? Do you have an ardent love?" And Peter didn't respond that way. He said, "You know that I have an affection for you." The second time Jesus asked that question, he dropped the word these. He said, do you love me the first time more than these? He dropped it the second time. And he says, Peter, do you agapeo me? Are you devoted to me? And Peter again said, Lord, you know I have an affection for you. Then interestingly here, Jesus drops the word agapeo in the third question and said, Peter, do you phileo me? And this grieved Peter. Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now here's an interesting thing that Peter said, brethren, that all of us, listen to me, every child of God, every Christian needs to take to heart, and that is that Jesus knows whether we love him or not. There are degrees of love as shown here. He knows whether you or I love him as we ought. I could ask you a question and somebody could ask me the same thing. Do you love the Lord? And you'd probably say, oh yes, I love the Lord. Well, Peter said he loved him, but he didn't love him like he ought to have loved him. And do you love him like you ought to love him? And that's one of the most important questions, in fact, the most important question that can be asked to any one of us. Do you love the Lord as the Lord knows that you ought to love him? Now, we sing the song once in a while, oh, how I love Jesus. And do you really love Jesus? And we need to get that settled in our mind, ladies and gentlemen, as to whether we really love the Lord or not. Now, Peter thought he did on an occasion. Look in your Bible in the 26th chapter of Matthew and beginning at verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, that is unto Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter was rather a bold fellow, and one who just committed himself before he thought it through. He says, Lord, I'll never be offended at you. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now the Lord knew Peter far better than he did. And he knows you far better than you did. He knows me far better than I do. Now look at verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Well, did he? Yes, he did. Before the cock crowed, Peter had denied him thrice. And you look down in the last verse of this chapter, of chapter 26 of Matthew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know whether I love you or not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brethren and friends, not a one of us, no person, is exempt from this question. No one of us is excluded from this question. Listen, do you love the Lord? Nobody is excluded from that question. No position that we might occupy or hold excludes us from that question. Peter was an apostle. One of the chosen apostles. But he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he didn't love him like he ought. A man can stand in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, preach in evangelistic meetings, debate with great opposition, write with a powerful pen, be very popular and received in the brotherhood, and still not love Jesus like he ought. man can be an elder in the church and lead the flock and not love Jesus as he should. You can be a deacon in the church, a teacher in the classroom, or you can be a big giver to the cause of Jesus Christ and not love him like you should. So no position excludes one from this question. Former experiences do not exempt us. Wasn't it Peter that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and saw the Lord transfigured? Wasn't it Peter who saw Jesus walk on the water of the Sea of Galilee, in fact took a step himself? Wasn't it Peter who saw the dead raised, and here was Lazarus brought forth from the tomb after he'd been dead for 4 days? Wasn't it Peter that associated with Jesus intimately over a period of 3 years? And yet here this apostle is asked the question by the Lord, do you love me? And I don't care how long we've been in the church and what we've done in the name of Jesus Christ, our experiences do not exclude us or exempt us from this question. Self-denial does not exempt us either. Peter said in the 10th chapter of Mark in verse 28, we've left all, we've given up all, and followed you. Now you think about that, brethren. When Peter was called to follow Jesus yonder and around the Sea of Galilee, he left all and followed him and had been an apostle out preaching the kingdom is to come over a period of years. And yet, at the close of the personal ministry of Jesus on earth, he asked this apostle, do you love me, Peter? It makes no difference what we might give up, how much we might sacrifice, we still might not love the Lord as we ought. In your Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first four verses, an interesting section concerning this point in which I'm speaking this morning. And Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries, all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profit me nothing. And we ask the question, how in the world could a man make such great sacrifices, even to the giving of himself in sacrifice, and still not have love? It's very easy. He's devoted to a cause or the upholding of theories. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are people today in the church who would go all out and make every sacrifice, give every dime they got to promote their own theories and hobbies, but it's not prompted or promoted out of love. Do we love the Lord? No one is exempt from this question. Do we have a devoted, ardent love for the Lord? Have we grown, ladies and gentlemen, in our love that we now have this agapeo love, that we really have a devotion, dedication, commitment to Jesus Christ rather than just an attachment to him from an emotional standpoint? You and me, each, has to answer. But he said, furthermore, in this text, he said, do you love me more than these? This word, these, is either neuter gender or masculine. You can't tell by the text. It could be either one. He could be saying, Peter, do you love me more than these apostles? That makes it masculine gender. Or Peter, do you love me more than these boats and these nets and that makes it neuter gender. Now, I don't know which one it is in the text. In fact, in principle, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches that we are to love Jesus more than the material things of life. Indeed, it does. And I'm not to be interested whether I love the Lord more than you love him or not. I'm not to be interested in that. I remember R. Steve Nichols years ago was preaching, "Can You Fall from Grace?" And Nichols delivered that. I didn't do that deliberately, but Nichols said, Paul stated in Galatians 5, verse 4, "Ye who would be justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." He made his point. I don't know whether I made mine or not. But what I was saying is that I'm not to be concerned whether I love the Lord more than you do or not. I'm confident, brethren, there are many people who love the Lord more than I do. I see people, at least it appears, that are dedicated, that are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and make much more sacrifice than I do. But I'm to be concerned about myself. Do I love the Lord? I'm evaluate. I'm to look into my heart. Do I love the Lord more than material things and possessions of this life? Do I love the Lord more than these? Now, the these, let's look at it for just a few minutes from the standpoint, number one, of pride. Do I love the Lord more than pride or self? You know, pride can get in the way and hinder us doing many things. Pride, ladies and gentlemen, causes a man not to obey the gospel because he's not willing to humble himself and obey. Pride will keep a person from forgiving his brother. And yet Jesus said in Luke the 17th chapter, verses 3 and 4, "If thy brother sin against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he sin against thee 7 times in one day, rebuke him. But if he ask forgiveness 7 times in one day, thou shalt forgive him." But some of us aren't willing to do that because of pride. Isn't that so? And I see some people in the church who won't admit that they made a mistake or that they sinned because pride gets in the way. "Oh, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't made any mistake." But we need to settle the question, do I love the Lord? Now, Jesus says, for me to love him to the degree that I will do what he says, what he teaches. And he teaches me to forgive. And he teaches me to humble myself and admit my mistakes. But pride gets in the way. And another thing, ladies and gentlemen, not only pride, but pleasure is loved by some more than they love the Lord. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4 that in latter times, he said there are going to be trying times come. He said there are going to be days come, and he said that men will love the pleasure more than they love the Lord. And I think we're in that day indeed, that we are more interested in pleasure. You can have something today, some sports event, or some show, and you get people to come, they'll go a great distance, they'll spend a great amount of money, and there's not anything wrong with a good wholesome show or sports event. But we need to make sure that we haven't sacrificed our love or compromised our love to Jesus Christ in order to go to one of these sports events or one of these pleasure shows. Isn't that right? And I need to get my priorities straightened out. And I need, brethren, to say in my heart that I'm going to put Jesus Christ first in all things, in all events, whatever it may be, and the pleasure in life is going to be secondary, or even down the catalog of priorities farther than that. Another thing is that we let possessions and money capture our minds instead of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, here was the rich ruler. He came to Jesus wanting to know what he must do to have eternal life. Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, all these I've done from my youth up. He says, what lack I yet? Jesus said, you go sell what you have and give to the poor. This was a rich man. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had great possession. He wasn't willing to compromise or sacrifice his wealth in order to follow Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of us today. We won't sacrifice in order to give to the cause of Christ, but we hoard things up for ourselves and spend on our own pleasures and on our own life instead of promoting the cause of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Let me say furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to love the Lord more than our own life. Luke 14 and verse 26. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I must love him more than father or mother, brother or sister. I must come to him and deny even my own self and sacrifice my life if necessary. Or I can't be a disciple of the Lord and Savior. Now Jesus, or rather Stephen, had learned this. Stephen gave his life for the cause of Christ. James had learned this. He died at the sword of Herod in the 12th chapter of Acts. Paul had learned this. He died yonder in Rome, being put to death, executed by the Romans because of his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you, as I look upon our lives today, it makes me ashamed sometimes of how little I'm committed and how little I give to promote the cause of Christ and how little interest many times we have for the greatest cause on the face of the earth. Listen, we need to love the Lord. And we reflect that in our activities, in our actions, in our manifestation. And I want to tell you something, friend. Listen to me. And I say this in all kindness. A brother or a sister who doesn't come to promote the church of our Lord for which he died and treat it with impunity and indifference and unconcern can't tell me that his love is as it ought to be for Jesus Christ. Huh? A man who has no interest in studying the scriptures and learning more about the lowly Nazarene can't tell me that his love is as it should be toward Jesus Christ. A man who won't give as he's prospered, who keeps to himself for his own pleasure and his own life, can't tell me that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ as he ought. And let me add one other thing in here, and that is that our family. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 37 that if you come to me, if you don't love me more than your father and mother, he said, you're not worthy of me. If you don't love me more than your brother or sister, you're not worthy of me. And if I let my daddy or my mother stand in my way of doing what Jesus says, if I let my wife or my husband stand in my way of doing what Jesus says, if I let any of my family come between me and the Lord Jesus Christ, don't tell me that I love the Lord as I ought to love him. Are you listening? Do we love the Lord more than these brethren and friends? Huh? Do we love him more than pride? Do we love him more than the pleasures of life? Do we love him more than our possessions and our money? Do we love him more than life? Do we love him more than family? Now there's just one other thing that I'm going to talk about and I'm going to quit. If we love the Lord, now follow me. If we love the Lord more than these, Peter was told, feed my lambs. Peter, feed my sheep. Now then, if I don't love the Lord more than these, the implication would be, Peter, you just leave him alone. Huh? Jesus, who is to feed the lambs? Jesus, who's to feed the sheep? Those that love me more than these. And that's right. And if I don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, I have no business trying to feed anybody. I need to develop my love and cultivate my love to the place where I'm devoted and committed to Jesus Christ in every way. And then I can carry the good news. And I want to tell you something, friend. The Lord didn't tell Peter. He didn't ask him the question. He says, now, Peter, I want to know just how eloquent you are. And Peter, I want to know what college you went to. And Peter, I want to know if you're going to use the right gestures in your preaching. And Peter, I want to know how you're going to stand in the pulpit. Huh? He didn't ask that. That doesn't mean that there's not a proper way to do things. That doesn't mean there's not a place for jesters. That doesn't mean that a college education can't be valuable. And brethren, that we can't use elocution to the glory of God. But I want to tell you what's the most important thing of all. Do you love the Lord? And if a man loves the Lord, pretty soon the hearers are so absorbed in him, what he's saying, what he's reflecting, what he's showing, that they're not going to notice about his split infinitives, his butchering the King's English so much, whether he has these dangling participles. They're not going to notice that. They're going to notice so much how he's dressed, or whether he's standing, or whether he's sitting, or whether he gets these gestures all right. Not going to notice that. But they're going to notice not whether he loves. Isn't that right? And if he loves, he's going to be just to all. He's going to be kind to all. And he's not going to hate anybody. If he loves, he's going to uphold the truth of God and not knowingly compromise it for any purpose or reason. If he loves as he ought to love, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to nurture the inexperienced and the babes in Christ. If he loves like he ought to love, he's not going to tear up and destroy and to cause problems in the church, but he's going to try to build it up. He's not going to promote his hobbies. He's not going to preach his opinions and bind them on other people. Everything that he does is going to be to the betterment, the building up, the enhancement of the church. And if a preacher doesn't approach it from that standpoint, doesn't go in that direction, I want to tell you now, listen to me, he doesn't have the love of Christ in his heart. I read this interesting statement the other day. This preacher had observed that in all the churches that he'd taken the count of, maybe it's in the state of Arkansas, but anyway, the many churches, he said not a one of them had had problems where there were not preachers located with them. Now you think about that. That's a reflection on us. And probably a very honest, true, correct evaluation. A lot of the problems in the church of God today are created and promoted by preachers in the pulpit or in magazines or in colleges, maybe. But that's right. And that shouldn't be. Now, does that mean there's not a place? No, no. And that doesn't mean that every church that has a preacher is suffering internal problems. But too many times, ladies and gentlemen, the preachers are the culprits. And that shouldn't be. If we love Jesus Christ and his cause, I'm saying, that working out of love and preaching out of love is not going to cause internal problems. You're not going to be the cause of it. Now, does that mean, preacher, that you're not going to have internal problems? No, that doesn't mean that. Sin can get in the church, and the preacher may have to deal with it along with the elders. He preaches on it. They deal with it, and we might cause problems. The church might split. But he split over truth, not over personalities. And so many of the problems today in the church are not over doctrinal matters, but over personalities and over hobbies and opinions that preachers have brought into the congregation. Let me give you an illustration. We had a good relationship right here in this area with the church until the preacher got in there to that church and poisoned their minds toward us. If you hadn't had those preachers, we'd still probably had a good relationship. And that happens in so many places in the city. The preachers promoted. And I know place after place right now that churches are alienated because of preachers, of all people, who should be preaching the gospel of peace and the gospel of love and bringing people together. But such is not the case. But if we love the Lord, we're going to do everything we can for the good of mankind and the glorification of God Almighty. I've talked long enough this morning. But I just wanted to talk a little while and think with you on one of the most important themes, I believe, in the Bible. Do you love me? Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And we need to think about the same question today. Do you love the Lord? Be honest with it. Because remember, Jesus knows whether you're telling the truth or not. We're not going to deceive him. We might be able to hide it from others, but we can't deceive the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows my heart. And he knows whether I love him or I'm trying to love him more. He knows that, and I can't lie to him. Do you love the Lord? Do you show up in your life? As we sing this song of invitation this morning, we want you to come and give God your heart. Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Will you come today and put on him who died for you? Will you show your love to him by keeping his commandments? If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. Yes, indeed. If we love God, we love Christ, we'll do what he says. If you're an unfaithful member of the church, will you come and be restored to your first love? Will you put on him once again in relationship, covenant relationship, that's been broken by sin? I pray that you'll come and show your love to Jesus Christ